On this episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, week 13 of the NFL season, and we get to have a bit of a shortened list for our game picks this week. The Bears look to keep it hot and rolling. 8-3 going against the 8-3 Eagles on the road. Then the Broncos taking on the Commanders on Sunday Night Football, and the Giants look to spoil the party for the Patriots, like they've done so many times on Monday Night Football. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Powered 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got CJ Medeiros, Justin Tucker, and Adam Wright, our producer, in the back. And if you missed the Thanksgiving special show, which God bless you if you did, but that is our new intro and new logo. Shout out to Julian Nicholson for the logo and Chris Chow for the for part of the intro. Especially the graphics part, because the graphics part is, it's always tough. Mm-hmm. Glad that we know people that know how to do that. All right, let's get into our Rooski game of the week. Black Friday, the Bears taking on the Eagles. Eagles in this one are 7-point favorites at home, and for good reason. You know, the Eagles, they're pretty damn good at home, and they have a lot to show for it as well. You know, you look at their game against the Lions where they only allowed 9 points, 38-20 win against the Giants, but they lost to the Broncos 21-17. At least that being their most recent home games. But in terms of this of last week, blew a 21-point lead to the Cowboys. So they're a little bit cold, but vibes are a little. These are two different vibes of 8-3 teams. The Eagles have low vibes right now. The Bears are on all-time vibes. Currently in the NFC, the lead in the NFC North, and sitting in the third spot of the conference at the moment. With a win, they can get themselves up to number two. The Eagles would drop down to three. They would just swap spots. So kind of a big game in terms of the playoff scenario. But in terms of this game, I feel like I have to give the Eagles the advantage here. I mean, they're at home. The defense has been lights out. Granted, besides giving up 24 unanswered last week, but I mean, this is still a really damn good defense, all things considered. The Bears, I mean, CJ has made this point plenty of times that, you know, you look at the Bears' schedule, and yeah, like they're getting wins and winning a lot of these games that in years past they've had no business winning. But the game this past week against, I'm blanking on who they even played.
Steelers.
The game this past week against the Steelers was their, besides the game earlier this year against the Commanders, scrapping that, it's their first win against a team above 500. So this is their first real test since they got their doors blown off back in week two against Detroit, 52-21. So I'm interested to see how far they've come since that, but I still like the Eagles in this game getting a bounce back win against Chicago. CJ, let's start with you.
It's not just, you know, that this is their first win against the team above 500 last week. But are the Steelers a contender? I'd argue they haven't beaten like a tried and true contender. You know, a lot of people say that same argument for the New England Patriots or even the Denver Broncos. But the difference between the Broncos and New England versus the Bears is that the Pats have beaten the Bills. The Broncos have beaten the Chiefs. The Bears, they haven't beaten a contender. Above 500 is good. That was your first step. Now it's time for you to take your next step. You want to be taken seriously, beat the Eagles. But going into the link and doing it, that's a hell of a task. And honestly, I think we're about to see them come back down to earth a little bit. I don't think they're a bad team. I just think Philly has more experience. And even with the Kevin Petullo offense, I think we're about to see them, you know, in our post-Thanksgiving episode, we're about to see them, shall we say, relegated back to the kids' table. I like Philly winning this.
Good one.
I mean, they're not going to be bad when I say kids' table. It's just like we're going to, you know, I think there's going to be a bit of a separation between the true contenders versus Chicago.
I would even pull the Chiefs in terms of the Broncos beating like good teams. I would pull the fact that they beat the Eagles in Philly.
Yeah, but so, I mean, the Chiefs, it's kind of like even when they're having a down year, it's like, you know, they're still Mahomes. Like, you got to.
Of course. Of course. Talk.
Am I the only one pulling out the upset? Am
I the- it would appear that way.
Okay.
Am I really going to do that? Yes, I am.
Sell me on the Bears right now.
I think that the vibes are high, right? Just like you guys said, the vibes are very high in Chicago. I think that they're 8-3 and leading their division when we all thought that wouldn't be the case this year. We thought it'd be like the Packers more than likely after the Micah Parsons trade. And looking at the Eagles, they just gave up 24 unanswered points to the Dallas Cowboys. The vibes, they're at an all-time low right now in the Jalen Hurts era. You don't give up 24 unanswered to Dallas, especially the 5-5 Dallas, the 5-5-1 Dallas Cowboys. So they're going to be looking for a bit of revenge. But I think the Bears are good enough with the weapons that they have, and I think the offense will be good enough to sustain drives. I'm still not sure what I am getting from this Philadelphia Eagles offense, even though they have Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I am concerned. I don't know how you score three straight drives in a row and don't score for the rest of the game. After like midway through the second quarter, they don't score at all. And it's like, So I'm a bit concerned about that. I like the vibes. I like the play calling. I like the capabilities of Caleb Williams right now. He's showing me he could be a true QB1 in this league. I'm liking the running attack, especially the rookie they have in the backfield right now. He's been showing me a lot. And their defense is actually fairly good. If they can get turnovers, like their leading guy in interceptions, Kevin Byard, once again showing you he's a good free safety in this league. If they can keep this up, I could see them winning at the link. I don't see it being a blowout. I see it being close, but I think Chicago could pull this off, especially if they get out to a hot start.
I mean, you got to give Caleb credit, right? 1,217 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception in his last 5 games. The completion percentage hasn't been there for me. 56.9 during this 5-game stretch. And hasn't been able to crack 55% in the last 2 games, 54.3% last week, 50% against the Vikings the week before. But he hasn't thrown a pick in his last 4 games. So I guess that's your trade-off at that point. He's not turning the ball over. Well, besides that Steeler, besides the weird one in the end zone last week that turned into a touchdown. But anyways. Anything else you guys want to touch on from this game?
Outside of the fact that this is a must-win for both of them, not just the Bears. The Eagles need to win this as well.
I think the Eagles need to win this so that their fan base doesn't tear the whole city down. Eagles need to win this in the sense that they need to comfort their fans and let them know that everything's going to be just okay, because it will. It probably will. You know, like Eagles are the Super Bowl champs. They're going to have a tough schedule. They're not going to win every single game. They're going to have some weird ones like last week, but you just need a win that comforts some people. All right. We're going to take kick it to a break. When we come back, we're going to get into our week 13 slate. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
All right, let's get into the rest of the week 13 slate. starting out with the Cleveland Browns, 5.5-point underdogs to the San Francisco 49ers. I'm kind of surprised a little bit that the spread is kind of this short. But when you think about the fact that, you know, you got Myles Garrett on the other side, right? We were talking about this on Tuesday's episode, right? Myles Garrett has 14 sacks in the last five games. 14 of his 18 sacks have come in the last five games. Gross. Disgusting. Foul. And we were talking about it too. Like, he's minus 1,000 right now for defensive player of the year. And you couple that with the fact of how the 49ers play it on Monday Night Football. I mean, the defense was there, obviously. The defense was there on Monday Night Football. But Brock Purdy threw three interceptions. He was looking like a fraud. He was looking like fraud. And, of course, everyone's talking about, can't believe we thought that Brock Purdy was elite, this and that. But in reality, this should be a get-right game for the 49ers. But you just got to think that the Browns defense is really going to really muck things up. Obviously, on the other side for the Browns offense, it's the Shedeur Sanders show. They're coming off a high from, show me the watch. Show me the watch. Come on.
It's perfect time.
Against all odds, beat the Raiders. And threw a 65-yard touchdown on a check down 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Let's go. 65-yard touchdown. Let's show the highlight. Let's show the highlight, NFL. No, all jokes aside, hey, not many people can say they threw a touchdown pass in the NFL. So, credit to Shitter. In terms of this game, this, I feel like, is all more or less going to end up turning into a get-right game for the 49ers. It's on the road, but you're at the end of the day, you're facing the Browns. This Niners defense, regardless of the injuries, are still all that and a bag of chips. I think they're going to give Shedeur a lot of hell this week. Give me the Niners.
CJ, you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure, I'll take it. This is going to be a rock fight. There's no two ways around it. This game's going to be ugly. Because, you know, the Niners, they're going to be swarming all over the field. You saw what they did to Bryce Young recently on Monday Night Football. But you also saw the Panthers defense did to Brock Purdy and the Niners. So imagine what the Browns defense is going to do, especially Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm taking the Niners just because I trust their offense a little more than I trust Cleveland's. Got to wait and see with Shedeur, because I think I want to see Shedeur have a solid game. Doesn't have to be a world beater, but look better than Dylan Gabriel. Because you already know, I was never a Gabriel fan, even coming out of the draft. So, I have the Niners, but I would expect it to be within a score, probably like 3 or 4 point game.
Jeez, this game might be just as bad, if not worse, than the Panthers versus 49ers. If it's not interceptions, it's going to be sacks, because Myles Garrett is going to have Brock Purdy fighting for his life, trying to fight off those sacks. I think he gets to this game. I think Myles Garrett gets to this game. That's how dominant he's been as of late. But the problem, I think Cleveland has a chance because Shedeur Sanders doesn't have much film out, so they don't know how to scout him yet. They know what they said about him in the draft, and they saw the film against him in the Raiders. He still has a lot to polish, but again, I don't think they opened up the playbook as much as they could have, and I think they'll open it up a bit more against this 49ers defense because the Raiders are the Raiders. They didn't have to do much to win that game. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to continue to impress. I still think the 49ers are going to win this game because I think the talent on offense is just better than what the Cleveland Browns have on offense at this moment in time, but this game is going to be a lot closer than we think. I think it might even be a one-point game, like 21-20.
That's pretty wild to think that, because I sincerely think that it's going to be the 49ers covering and then stuff. Covering half spread, and then so. But we all have Niners though, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Next game: Titans and Jaguars. Titans are 6.5 point underdogs at home against the Jags. Jaguars winning a weird one last week again. This time against the Cardinals overtime 27. That's like, this is the second game in their last four where they've weirdly gone to overtime against teams that really shouldn't be going to overtime against, the other one being against the Raiders. But they've won three of their last four, could be four in a row if you didn't blow a 19-point lead to the Texans. AFC South seems a lot more wide open. And if you take into the fact that if the Jaguars don't lose that game against the Texans, they're tied for the AFC South lead with the Colts because the Colts lost to the Chiefs. So, like I said, AFC South feels a lot more wide open. The Jaguars, you know, this is a game where you think, yeah, they should win this. But Cam Ward didn't have that bad of a game last week. Didn't have that bad of a game against the Seahawks, and they only lost by seven by six against that Seahawks team. Part of me wants to hit the upset button. This feels like a Jaguars letdown game. Feels like it. They're on the cusp, right when they're there, they're doomed to let us down. And Trevor Lawrence, he just loves to throw the untimely pick. He loves to give the ball away. He has 11 interceptions this year already. What are your guys' thoughts? CJ, we'll start with you.
AFC South football. Some of the ugliest football known to man. There are Pop Warner games that are unfortunately more exciting, I would imagine. So, despite this, I know Ward didn't look too bad against the Seahawks, but the score, I feel, is deceptively close. You know? I feel like they didn't keep it competitive. I think they just kind of dressed up the score. A lot of those points, you know, were like garbage time, second half, which, I'm sorry. Those work for stat patterns. They don't work for me. But the Jags are terrible. They're not terrible. They're just AFC version of the Panthers. Like, I have no idea what I'm going to get from them week to week. I'm expecting an ugly game, but I'm expecting a Jaguars win. Because the Titans defense can't stop a nosebleed. And Ward, he had a good game, but now can he do it again? Because even when he looks solid, he has trouble stringing those games together.
This game just feels like a trap game, does it not? This has all the makings of a trap game. The Jaguars look clearly the better team. They look the better, just overall better. The quarterback plays better. The defense is better. Just all of it's better. But then the Titans might actually beat them because it's a division rival too. I could see them losing this game too. And they really shouldn't. I'm picking the Jaguars because I think they can pull this off, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lose this game in a shocking upset. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, like, I wanted to check in on that Garbo time stuff, but I mean, like, Titans were only down 14 heading into the fourth quarter against the Seahawks and made it a one-score game. Little too late, of course, but that's understanding the facts. Anyways, but yeah, screw it. Give me the Titans. Give me the Titans in an upset. I don't care. Jaguars are frauds. Give me the Titans.
You don't believe that.
I
know you don't.
I don't believe that. I believe them to cover. How about that? How about that? Give me them to cover.
I can see that.
All right. Colts, Texans. Colts are 4.5 point favorites at home against the Texans. I guess the question is, when does the Davis Mills run end? And you would think this is like this is the opportunity, right? But the Texans defense has been seemingly unstoppable recently, especially during this stretch. And the Colts have been brought down to earth a couple times recently. And it seems the Chiefs may have cracked the code, and we were talking about this, just hold Josh or Jonathan Taylor to under 75 yards. Hold him to under 75 yards, no touchdown, shut him down. Make Daniel Jones do the work. But is that going to be enough today or this week? Is that going to be enough? Tuck, what are your thoughts?
Jeez. I think the word is out on the Indianapolis Colts, and it's like, make Danny Jones beat Daniel Jones beat you. And I don't think he can most of the time. He looks good in the first half, but he seems to be crumbling towards the tail end of games. And it's unfortunate. He crumbled against the Steelers for three quarters, and he crumbled against the Chiefs. I think if you just lessen the impact Jonathan Taylor has on the game, which the Houston Texans can do. You saw what they did against James Cook after he had that long touchdown run. He didn't do much of anything afterwards. If they can shorten Jonathan Taylor's impact, you're basically asking Daniel Jones to win you the game, and I'm not sure he can. Maybe if Davis Mills if you ask Davis Mills to win the game, I don't think he can. He can do just enough to keep you in the game, but I'm not sure he can win it. This could either go either way. I'm going with the Colts for this one because I think they have enough weapons for Daniel Jones to be successful. But again, that defense is something special. That defense is something special. And the way Will Anderson is playing right now is whew. So I still got the Colts, but it's not going to be a shock if the Texans win.
As for me, give me Houston with the upset. The word is out. Of course, the word has been out because I was the first one to say it. I was literally the first one to say, oh, yeah, I can't help but notice. Jonathan Taylor gets held under 100. The Colts don't win because, old Danny Derps, he doesn't like to win games by himself. And, yeah, give me that Houston defense. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson are going to be feasting this game. And all Davis Mills has to do is exist. I think he can exist. I like Houston with an upset.
Wanted to see how many games the Colts have won this year with Jonathan Taylor being held to 100 yards. So here it is. They have won 1, 2, 3 games where he's been held to 100 yards, but 3-3. He's been held to under 100 yards 6 times. They're 3-3 when it happens.
They're a 500 team.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm going to go with the Colts here because, and we're recording this earlier this week because of Thanksgiving and Black Friday, the holiday. So we're going to be talking in generalities in the sense of we don't know if CJ Stroud is officially going to be playing or not, this and that. Aren't fully up to date on injuries and all that from when you guys are going to be listening.
If Stroud is playing, I have Houston even more.
Really?
Well, not by even more, but I'm more convinced of Houston if they have him.
I can't be convinced of Houston with CJ Stroud anymore. And
I mean, me neither, but dude,
when you look at the Colts this year, they're 6-0. They have been dominant at home this season as well. They're 6-0 at home, and a lot of the times when they're at home, they continue to dominate a lot of blowout games. There's been a couple one score games against the Broncos and the Cardinals, but they're usually dominating. Now, this being a divisional contest could be a little different, but I like the Colts at home this week. I also had the take on Monday night when I was over at my friend's house, and One of them is a Ohio State fan, so they like C.J. Stroud, of course, and I had to take that. C.J. Stroud is currently a bottom five quarterback in the league, or at least he's playing like it.
Leaning no.
Miami, New Orleans. Miami's favored by 6. If I know the Dolphins to do anything, they kick the shit out of the bad teams. Granted, they are one of the bad teams, but you know, you're at home. New Orleans, they're in a weird spot with their running backs right now. Alvin Kamara has sprained MCL. So they're going to and Devin Neal has been kind of Devin Neal, waiver wire. There's your pickup. But Saints are in a weird spot. They're bad. Give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins. Not really much to talk about. Battle of the mid here. Tua's going to be good, but against superior teams, he'll look awful. But this is a game he can win.
I'm also going with Miami here. However, I'd argue if you're a Dolphins fan, you should want to lose this game. Because every game you win, because they're actually stacking up a decent win streak. And McDaniel's going to hold this over the head of the owners and say, oh, but look at the win streak. We're not bad. It's just, you know, he'll use something as a scapegoat. But now he's got to get fired. It's actually bad for them if they win. So, oh, well. I think they're going to because the Saints are terrible.
Yes. Tuck?
I said the Dolphins.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I don't see this. The Saints don't have anything good enough to win, but I still don't think Mike McDaniel keeps his job.
Yeah, it clears that.
It'd be very Dolphins if he did.
Yeah. Falcons, Jets. Jets are 2.5-point underdogs at home. I mean, Falcons looked all right against the Saints, I guess. It's the Saints, but, like, the Falcons are just as bad now because of all these injuries. It's a question mark on if Drake London's going to play this week or not. I'd like to have Drake London back for fantasy purposes. That'd be pretty fucking nice. But this is just such a weird, like, you could say, like all you want about the Jets, but like the Falcons are almost just as bad at this point. I don't know. Tuck, what are your thoughts?
Is it crazy to think the Jets could win this game?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I think the Jets can win this one. As a matter of fact, since how injury riddled the Falcons are right now, even though they got a win last week, I'm picking the Jets to win this. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm struggling to. I think they can win this. I think they have a good defense despite all the losses they had on that side of the ball. They're coached well on the defensive side of the ball. Their offense has Breece Hall, who's been carrying the workload. I think they're good enough, and I think John Metchie and Adonai Mitchell will make significant impacts in the game enough to get them a close win. I think they're good enough to win this game.
CJ?
I'm still going with the Falcons here. Just this is going to be a low-scoring, ugly game. The Falcons still at least have Bijan. They have Mooney. They have Pitts. The Jets don't even have Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall has become their whole offense. You're playing old man Tyrod Taylor at QB. Because, you know, Justin Fields can't throw. Like, you know, obviously you traded away Sauce and Quinn and Williams. Like, it's just over for the Jets. They're a very sorry team. And I think in an ugly one, Atlanta pulls it out. You know, because, hey, Kirk Cousins is at least watchable. Or maybe even serviceable. Like, he can start a game. Which is more than I can say about anyone than the Jets having that QB room.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Tuck, you saw it last week. The Jets outgained the Ravens last week. They were better on third down than the Ravens last. The only thing that Baltimore really had was the fact that they had 2 turnovers and they had Lamar and Derrick Henry. That's really the only thing that they had over the Jets at that point.
Yeah.
The Ravens also just kind of played down.
Yes. obviously.
Yes.
Screw it. Screw it. Give me the Jets. Give me the Jets. I mean, like, because why not at this rate? It's the NFL. It's week 13. Silly shit's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Tampa Bay, Arizona. Tampa Bay favored by 3 points at home to the Cardinals. And, like, this is another one that, like, am I that crazy to think that the Cardinals could get one on the Bucs?
No, you're not crazy at all.
Like there's a lot of upsets that could happen this week now that I'm really, like, looking through the slate.
Yeah, they don't have Baker. Chris Godwin doesn't look like the same. They still don't have Bucky Irving. They still don't have Mike Evans. The offense is a mess. The defense is worse. I could see the Cardinals winning this game, but I'm still picking the Bucs. It actually depends if they have Baker. If they don't have Baker, I might swing Cardinals.
I think the injuries have caught up to Tampa fully. And maybe they have Bucky Irving back. That's what I've heard. They might get him back this week. And hopefully he's not like Chris Godwin, where, I'm sorry, like I said before, Godwin's not healthy. He's not. He's still playing through whatever injury he has. And even if they have Bucky Irving, just I don't know. Brissett is also serviceable. Bridgewater looked terrible. Then again, that was against the Rams. So the grand calculus of things, I'm tilting towards Arizona. Surely they won't let me down this time, right? Jacoby Brissett, sure. Come on, man. I believe in you. He's ironically outplaying Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Oh, he is. That's been the storyline. And I mean, for
they're not winning, but he's still outplaying them. So do with that what you will, guys.
Yeah. Hmm. I think I'm going to go with Tuck's take, though. In the fact, I'm going to go Bucks if Baker does end up playing, but no Baker. I'm going with Arizona to get the upset on the road.
Yeah.
Final game of the 1 o'clock window, the Panthers and the Rams. I mean, if you thought that Bryce Young and the Panthers against the 49ers was abysmal to watch, then I don't know what to make of this game. Guess spread for me.
Probably like what? 10.5?
Ooh, on the nose.
Hey, awesome.
Rams by 10.5.
I was going to say, it's got to be a double-digit spread.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, the Rams, to be, like, all around just a better team than the 49ers. And, like, the Panthers defense, we talked about this, like, the Panthers defense held up. Like, the Panthers defense.
But is J.C. Horn going to play? He's concussed, I remember.
Yeah, I doubt he's going to play.
He doesn't, then that's just even more for the Rams. It's kind of like, you ever seen that meme, coughing baby versus hydrogen bomb?
Yeah.
This is that in NFL form. Give me the Rams, personally.
Yeah. I like, the only thing the Panthers really have going for them is that they're 10.5 point underdogs, but they're at home.
That's I got the Rams winning this. Imagine this turns into a shootout all of a sudden because the Panthers just know how to play offense. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. If the Panthers try to reel me back in after this, I'm never falling for it again. I'm sorry. No.
If the Rams lose this game,
I'm going to fall for it. I will be the idiot that falls for it again.
The Rams better not lose this game.
I could see this being like a sneaky cover because it's like 10.5. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points. But I could see this being like a cover. But Rams are just too good this year. Like Brock Purdy threw as many interceptions in a quarter and a half. Or actually, pardon, rewind. Brock Purdy threw more interceptions in a quarter and a half than Matt Stafford has all year.
Yeah.
Mm. Crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the early afternoon slate. We'll step aside when you come back. Late afternoon slate for week 13, along with Sunday night football and Monday night football.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Late afternoon slate, and we start with the Vikings and the Seahawks. Guess the spread. Guess the spread.
Ooh. Can I go 2 for 2, kids? Yeah, Vikings have a solid-ish defense. Seahawks plus or minus 9.5?
Tuck, you want to take a guess?
Over under minus 7?
Seahawks by 10.5. At home against a Vikings team that is going to have to start Max Brosmer, the undrafted free agent from the University of New Hampshire.
If he's a UNH guy in the NFL, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of them.
Yeah, oh, there's that Lauby guy. I think he's on the Raiders.
I mean, there's Jalen Coker. He's a Holy Cross.
Oh, yeah, Coker. Oh, yeah, I said UNH, not Holy Cross, Mr. Chris.
All right.
Mr. Holy Cross over here.
I don't work there. I never even went there.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it.
Yeah, okay. But that's basically the big thing. Is the undrafted rookie going to be good enough to beat the Seahawks? Because the Seahawks are also just straight gangbusters this year. JSN is the best receiver in the league. I think that's can we say he is the best receiver in the league?
He's playing like it.
He is right now. This season, he is the best receiver in the league.
Yes. So, yeah, Seahawks.
I got 4 words for Max Brosmer. Welcome to the NFL. Seahawks.
Seahawks, but, yeah, plus – I wouldn't go 10. I'd go plus 14.
How funny would it be if he out, even if they lose, if he outplayed JJ McCarthy? Like, let's just say he went, 13-16, 150 yards, maybe a touchdown or two, no picks. That would be very funny.
Yeah.
That'd be ridiculous. And you'd have some serious questions about JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Going to the 425 slot, we got the Steelers, 3.5-point underdogs against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, if you're looking at the Bills, could we consider this a get-right game?
No.
Because, like, I want to call it that.
But they played the Bears. Steelers play games close, so I don't think the Steelers are bad enough for this to be considered a get right game.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, it for who? Because the Steelers are a good team all around, they just struggle in certain areas. And then the Bills are the Bills, so it's like, I don't know who this is a get right game for. I think they're two same level.
I would say it'd be more or less for the Bills.
Would you?
Yes. Would you really be thinking that I would be saying that about the Steelers?
Yes. Because the Bills don't look all that good either. You could look at me like that if you want to, but the Bills don't look good right now.
No, they don't. No, I'm not. That's why I say.
Yeah, but it's not get right because they're better than the Steelers. You can't have a get right game, at least on paper, against a team that's better than you. You can have an upset.
But if the Steelers beat the Bills, are we going to sit here surprised?
Yes.
No. The Steelers beat the Bills. Yes, I would be surprised. Yes.
I wouldn't.
If we're talking about this in terms of the Mike Tomlin cycle, we're probably around that spot where Steelers fans are about to be back all in on their team again. So if we're talking the Mike Tomlin cycle, then yeah. Sure, I wouldn't be surprised.
They could win this game. The Steelers could win this game. even with Mason Rudolph as the quarterback, I still have the Bills, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Bills lost this game. And is it at home or is it away for the Steelers?
It's at home.
And it's more than likely possible. You saw what happened to the Colts.
True.
Yeah.
So it's very much it's on the table here. So I Josh can't go to the right game.
All right. So are you picking the Steelers?
You know what?
Of all the teams for Tuck to pick,
he doesn't like the Steelers right now. Grappling with some demons over there.
You know,
Tuck, I just picked the Jets. Tuck, yeah. I just picked the Jets.
You know what? Listen, I can't stand either one of these teams, but I could see the Steelers winning this. I got the Steelers. Why not? It's not my first time picking the Steelers this season, so I can be fine with this. Yeah, I got the Steelers. You guys talked me into it. I got the Steelers winning this one 24-21.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring, ugly game, probably like a 20-17 thing. I think Buffalo's going to win, but it's going to be one of those ugly wins, you know, that raises questions. Not going to be a convincing win at all. I'm going to leave the game more uncertain about the Bills than I went in, even if they win. So give me Buffalo.
Yeah. I'm also going to go Buffalo here, but I think that the Steelers are going to cover this 3.5-point spread. The short one, yeah, but like the way that, I mean, you could argue that Mason Rudolph with this offense just looks better than with Aaron Rodgers. Anyways, last game, the 4 o'clock window, the Chargers and the Raiders.
Do we even have to talk about
this? Where was this enthusiasm for the Raiders last week, Chris? I was waiting for you to do it, but you didn't.
They got beat handedly by the Cowboys. That's what happened.
I can't believe it. Yes, I understand.
Yeah. Chargers. What's the spread?
I'm not guessing this one.
God.
It better not be 2.5.
No. Chargers -8.5. I think, or Raiders. Yeah, I guess works the same way. But yeah, no. Chargers -8.5.
Tuck.
12.5.
Chargers by 9.5.
Damn.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they covered it. I mean, like, the vibes in Vegas are super low. We were talking about Geno Smith flipping off his own fans. Mm-hmm. He can't be protected. I mean, the Chargers have issues of their own, but are the issues as bad as Vegas? I'd say no.
Mm-hmm. Would you call this a get-right game for the Chargers, perchance?
It has to be. Like, you have... Like, this has to be a get right. Like, you, like, if you're the Chargers, you have to blow the brakes off of the Raiders this week.
Yeah. I need Herbo to bounce back, because if he doesn't, or even if they win and it's unconvincing, then no, there will be an episode in the future where I do nothing but call him If Man, and he will be on the thumbnail as If Man. I am already planning it, and the episode will be called If Man Returns. You don't want that, do you, Herbert? No, then beat the Raiders. I still have the Chargers.
Sunday Night Football, the Broncos and the Commanders. Broncos are favored by 6.5 on the road. I mean, I want to say I'm going to go Broncos, but with a little bit of caution, because, I mean, like, the Commanders are not a great team themselves, of course. I don't know why I'm talking about the Broncos as if they're one of the worst teams in the league, but when I look at this Broncos team, it's still super underwhelming on offense, but we've also seen this Broncos team be able to light up bad defenses at the same time. But at the same time, they also have bad letdown games offensively against bad defenses. So that's why I say with caution at this point. That's basically it. Chuck.
Yeah, this isn't going to be close. I got the Broncos winning this. They don't have Jaden Daniels. They barely have a receiving core right now. I'm not even sure if Terry McLaurin or Deebo Samuels is healthy right now. I got the Broncos winning this one. It shouldn't be close.
I'm going Denver. I understand why you're afraid, Chris, but they, I wouldn't be shocked if they shut out Washington, honestly.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be like 21-3. So, yeah.
Yeah. Before we get into the Monday night game, got some news for the Saints kicker-wise. New Orleans adding kicker Cade York to its practice squad after he tried out on Monday. Do you want to know who he tried out with?
Who?
Oh, I saw this one. Can I say
Justin it? Justin Tucker.
That one, yeah.
Tucker, I didn't know that you tried out for the Saints. Why didn't you tell us?
Bro, give us some of that kicker money, dog. Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
Funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Monday Night Football, Giants, Patriots. Giants are eliminated from playoff contention. But the question is for the Giants, will we see Jackson Dart or will we see Jameis Winston? Low key, I'm scared of shit of both. The Patriots are going to win. They should win. They should win. They should win. But it's like we've seen the cracks so far in how this team hasn't had the bye week yet, and I think it's finally catching up to them. They've had some injuries now, especially on the offensive line. It's a little scary. Question is, who am I more scared of, Jackson Dart or Jameis Winston? That's basically it. Like, I know with Jameis Winston, I'm going to see the Patriots force him to make some bad plays, some bad throws, but with Dart, I don't know. With Dart, I don't know how we would perform again. Like, even with, like, seemingly nothing for the Giants offense, Jackson's Dart, I mean, shit, even Jameis Winston still is putting up numbers against teams like the Lions, like the Broncos. So, that's, and I mean, shit, we saw the way that they played last week against the Lions. They're pulling out trick plays up there, like from their ass, and playing with nothing to lose. Like, this is it. Like, they have officially entered, we have nothing to lose territory. So that's a little bit of what I'm afraid of. Now that I got that all out of the way, Drake May by a million. Give me Drake May and the Patriots any day of the week. They're going 11-2. Oh, suck on that, you haters. You just hate us because you ain't us. We're back. Everyone thinks we're cheating. We're so back. Doesn't matter. But give me the Patriots in a scary one just because the bye week's coming up. And I feel like we're going to get a little bit of a scare. And we're going to be like, you know what? Next week, we got the bye. It's going to be a nice reset. We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
CJ, right. You want to go?
I'm terrified of this game. Every instinct I have wants me to say this is going to be, I want to put New England on upset alert. This is the definition of a trap game. They almost lost to the Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals completed not one, but two goal line stands against the Pats. They had eight plays, I believe, on the goal line that resulted in 0 points. Although, to be fair, May did throw a touchdown, but that got wiped away, and I think we can all agree on a really ticky-tack offensive pass interference call. There was some hand fighting going both ways, could have called it either way. And I know, Chris, I think you said outright it's probably one they shouldn't have thrown. Tuck, I think if you saw it, you'd agree it was not that, it was a really weak call, but still, that's not great. Like, and also the injuries starting to pile up. Their run defense gave up a 100-yard rusher for the first time. They're missing Milton Williams, like the run defense that Williams night and day, and now they're without the entire left side of their offensive line. Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, they both avoided season-ending injuries, thank God. But against that Giants pass rush, and also, I'm sorry, I'm scared of Jameis. I really am. Because you never know what Jameis you're going to get. Are you getting 3 picks in a game, Jameis? Or are you getting 3 touchdowns in a game, Jameis? He's so weird.
Or are you getting both of Jameis?
Yeah, you could probably get both. Even if it's in New England, though, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of feeling a Giants upset here. However, I am going with New England because I think it's going to be a scary game. As a Pats fan, I'm tired of these close games. You know what I want? I want a blowout. I want a game that I don't have to stress over where the Patriots just put belt to ass from the word go. I want another blowout. Can we please do that? Probably not. The injuries are starting to pile up. And like I said, I think we are looking at a Giants upset. But at the end of the day, I got two words. Drake May. I got the Pats.
Just when I thought you weren't going to start drinking it all over the damn podcast, here we go.
Drake May. Wait, what do you have against Drake May?
I have nothing against him. It's the way you guys talk
about Drake May. Get a little emotion, Tuck. Come on.
It's the way you guys talk about Drake May that gets annoying. Drake May by a million. Some of the things y'all say in the group chat is ridiculous. We're not going to say them on the podcast. We're grown adults. But enough's enough. The Patriots are going to win this game. It seems like a trap game, and the Giants' defense is nothing to sneeze at, but I do not think the offense is good enough with that Patriots' defense. I think Drake May is going to make another candidacy for his MVP case, and I think you guys are going to win pretty handily. 34-20 should be the final score, regardless of who the quarterback is.
I sure
do. I appreciate it.
Sure damn hope so. All right, that's all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Anything else on the bill before we end the show?
Actually, yeah, I don't think I said it last episode, but for last week's pick'em, we were supposed to announce the results and we didn't. Adam and I tied for first place at 11. You and Tuck, I think, both got 8.
Yes, that's right. I forgot about that.
Or maybe you both got 7. I don't know. I know Adam and I tied at 11. And one more thing, at the time of the recording, we've had our first elimination from the postseason. The New York Giants.
Yeah, the Giants. I already said it. Yeah.
I mean, I know, but yeah. And I think the reason was, don't quote me on this, but I don't even think they've beaten an NFC team. And I think that's what hurt them. Or maybe they have. I don't know. Just like, that's why I think it is, because they literally
beat the Eagles earlier this year.
Yeah, they beat the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, they did. I forgot. Because I was just trying to make sense of why they're out this early. But first time I think they've been out
this
early.
Well, you know, they are 2-10.
Huh?
They are 2-10.
Yeah, so fair enough. So, yeah, and this week we probably have more teams looking at elimination. So, yeah, like the Jets.
Yeah, honestly, good point. That's a good point you make.
This is about the time of year where teams start getting eliminated. It's also around the time where some teams can clinch, at least a playoff spot, not necessarily the division, unless their division's terrible.
Yeah. Surprisingly, the Titans haven't been eliminated yet, but I would assume with a loss this week, they'll definitely be eliminated. Saints are probably up next as well. They're 2-9 at the moment. Especially with the NFC conference as a whole, it's a constant talking point. It's a gauntlet over there. Maybe the Titans can squeak by one more week of not being eliminated, but they're going to get eliminated this week. Jets and Raiders are both 2-9. They could most likely get eliminated this week at 2-10. Actually, they would. They would get eliminated with a Bills win because the Bills would be 8-4. They would be 2-10 at that point. Saints could get eliminated. Will get eliminated, honestly, with a 49ers win or a Lions win, one of the two. Basically, if any of the teams that are in the wild card spot get a win, then these teams will get eliminated. That's basically it.
Yeah.
All right. That is all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fulmarooski Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. And we're getting to that point of the fantasy football season where playoffs are right around the corner. So good luck with your fantasy matchups. I'm really sweating it out right now. Million teams in my league that are 5-6. I've started out 0-5, traded CeeDee Lamb and Josh Jacobs and went 5-2 since. I'm now 5-7, somehow looking at a playoff spot. Anyways. So If that's anything for you, anything's possible. New episode on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, CJ Medeiros, Justin Tucker, Adam Wright, our producer. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.